And up next, the extraterrestrial presence on Earth, an amazing story. Judy Carroll with us. We're going live to Australia in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. Judy Carroll back with us. Judy has experienced 60 years of encounters with gray ETs. Many when she was fully conscious. Her full awakening about her ET connection came when she was 30 during a daytime encounter back in 1983, and when several grays appeared and gave her a massive download of information regarding her role in the mission being carried out on Earth today. And Judy identifies as a blended soul whose conscious awareness spans two planetary connections, the Earth human and the Zeta gray human as well. Judy, welcome back to the show. It's been too long.
It has, George, hasn't it? I think the last time I spoke on Coast to Coast was around 2011.
You're absolutely right. Exactly. I think we may have talked about your work, the Zeta message, and also Human by Day.
That's right. That's exactly right.
What's new down under?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we've been going through some very, very hot weather here at the moment in Queensland. It's a little bit cooler today, but everyone's being very affected by it with the humidity, so that's our big news at the moment.
I'm in Los Angeles right now. It's been chilly for a couple of weeks.
I'm in contact with a lot of people in America, and we always say if we could send you some of our heat, if we could send you some of our heat, and you could send us some of our cold over there, it'd be lovely because I know you've been having a very bad winter.
Yeah, we sure have. Judy, tell our audience exactly about you, if you would, beyond the bio that I just read.
Okay. okay.
Because they need to hear this from you.
Right, no worries, George, yes. Yes, look, shortly after transitioning from my last life as a Zeta Grey, I was a Zeta Grey in my last life, I volunteered to be reborn on Earth in an Earth-human body, or a container, as we call them. And this choice was made so that I could continue to be part of the mission that began on Earth in the 1940s, which I think quite a lot of people are aware of. I incarnated here in 1952 into a very carefully chosen family, which I knew would assist the assimilation of my off-planet heritage. My great-grandmother in the present life was actually of Spanish gypsy descent. She was a dancer by profession, and also a talented psychic medium in the shamanic Romani tribal tradition. Now, tribal people are generally more open to the concept of multidimensional reality, which is quite vital for the proper understanding of off-worldly contact. This, unfortunately, is the point missed by so many researchers in this field. They just don't look past the limited perspective of 3D reality. Anyway, the role I chose for this mission was to be an ambassador and a bridge between the Zeta Greys and the Earth human cultures. So part of my pre-birth soul preparation was to connect energetically with two rather than a single planetary collective consciousness that one usually connects to prior to rebirth. This is what is actually meant by dual or blended soul, and it enables us to operate on two levels of reality. So in this way, I can be down here in Earth human form by day as a perfectly normal human, and then when my physical body goes to sleep at night, I step out of it in astral form and go on board one of our ships to carry out work.
Interesting.
Even though the Earth human mind only works at about 10% capacity, I've still managed to bring back a limited amount of conscious recall of my grey work. So this is sort of part of my role as an ambassador to be able to speak out about this.
When you made the decision to come back into an Earth body form,
yes.
And you were born, at
yes.
what point did the recollection of your Zeta Grey life start coming?
Well, this is actually quite a long story. It took a while. The reason being, before incarnating here, I was aware of how fearful Earth humans can be of anything like this, like an ET contact,
sure.
anything outside of the limited 3D reality, or of anyone who looks very different, as the Greys, of course, do. They look very different. I also knew that I'd need to immerse myself totally into actually being an Earth human to be able to experience this firsthand. So for this reason, I closed off the Grey part of my consciousness throughout my childhood. And this actually worked quite well, but at the same time, some awareness was filtering through, enabling me to experience the awareness and fear of ET contact through Earth human eyes. So all through my childhood, I was caught between this fear and a deep-seated yearning for my off-planet existence. And I actually found life very confusing. I didn't feel at home down here. Felt homesick for someplace else, but I couldn't understand consciously what was wrong. I just found the whole human concept of eating and going to the bathroom, etc., so weird. And I was always telling my parents, I'm not Judy, don't call me that. So luckily they were very patient, God love them. I was aware of going off somewhere at night, and my Earth child consciousness was both terrified and fascinated by this. I also had a strong sense of mission, as I've heard from many other people, of being here for a specific purpose to carry out work of some sort. So full awakening actually came at age 30 in 1983 when I had a daytime encounter in which I recognised my ET visitors as family. The connection I felt with them was way beyond words, and it was then that I was reminded of my assignment down here. A massive download of information and advice was given to me regarding the work we're carrying out on Earth, the part I was to play in it, and also further studies that I needed to do in order to undertake this role to the best of my ability.
Are there others like you here?
Sorry?
Are there others like you on this planet?
Yes. Many, many. Yes, quite a good number. I've actually been lucky enough to come into contact with a number of other greys who are down here in human form. Most of them have been through the same thing that I have, cutting off their consciousness when they were young, because all of us do want to understand what it's like to go through contact so that we can understand it from the human perspective, and so we're able to empathize more strongly and help people.
Now, what is the overall ET mission here? What are they trying to accomplish?
Okay, the overall mission is to assist evolution, particularly of the human race. The human race of Earth has been stuck or trapped in a stagnant pool. That's a good way of describing it. Cut off from the natural flow of the rest of the universe for many millennia. Planet Earth is over 4 billion years old. I think scientists have come up with that. And right from the beginning, more highly evolved star elders have been coming here to assist the evolutionary process. A number of different human species have actually emerged on Earth. Human life doesn't evolve naturally. It's always bioengineered. And human species have been developed out of many different animal species, both here on Earth and elsewhere. What people don't understand, there's been a lot of disinformation put out by religion. Religion on Earth teaches that God is the creator, but God is not a being. God is pure energy, pure life force, source energy that permeates and drives the whole of creation. So to think of God in the way that religion tends to portray really is rather demeaning and limiting, because you can't limit eternal source energy to human form and label it with lower human emotions of anger, etc. So the actual doing of the work of creation is carried out by what could be called assistant creators or creator beings. These highly evolved ET cultures refer to God as source or oneness. Jacqueline Smith, the author of the book Star Origins and the Wisdom of Animals, she uses the term key creator for God and assistant creators for the star beings who carry out the work. So the ones who actually carry out this type of work, working with humans or other animals, helping the path of evolution, are these higher star elders. Now, what happened down here during the time referred to as Atlantis, a rebel faction of the Draconian group, which were star elders, and their Earth plane offspring, hijacked the planetary mission and basically interfered with the DNA enhancement process that was being carried out. Hence this major blockage that's occurred here on Earth for millennia. And these ones have continued to incarnate and reincarnate here, holding on to their position of control and exploitation of the planet and humanity. They've been using divide and conquer techniques to keep humanity weak and disempowered, hence the continual warfare that's plagued humankind for millennia. So to sum up and provide a concise answer, the overall ET mission is to assist humanity to free themselves and regain their rightful empowerment, which in turn will bring peace to Earth as it is on other planets. The secondary mission could be looked upon as a Noah's Ark project, which is why the ETs have been collecting genetics from humans and also from all other living creatures on Earth, just in case of a worst-case scenario that humanity destroys themselves or their planet. And this rescue project has been happening since nuclear weaponry came into being on Earth during and after the last World War. So that's basically what our mission is in a nutshell.
And how many do you say could be on the planet at any given time?
Well, with the greys, I'd say there'd be probably several thousand. As for the other ones, I'm not sure, but it would certainly be up into the thousands.
And their propulsion system is a physical craft to get here?
This is very hard to explain, because greys and other higher evolved ET races work multidimensionally. It's actually very hard for them to express through physical form. Most of them are vibrating at too high a frequency to do that. Most of the physical activity is actually coming from a negative group down here. And this is where a lot of confusion is happening. The propulsion that the higher beings use is what they refer to down here as zero-point energy. It's like electromagnetic energy that's actually channeled through the body of the crews.
Now, you said there's a negative group here. Who might that be?
Or yes,
what
okay.
might that be?
Yes, this is the group. I actually refer to them as the Repterans.
Repterans? Okay.
Yeah, Repterans.
Not reptilians, but Repterans.
Well, I call them Repterans. The reason being, they were actually created here on Earth by the Draconians. The Draconians were a reptilian group of star people who came here as creator beings, and they created or developed, bioengineered, several groups of offspring of like reptoid human type.
It's what Satan has been described as looking
exactly,
like, right?
Okay. Exactly. That's exactly right. I think Lucifer, too, is portrayed as a reptilian being.
Not very friendly types, are they?
No, not very friendly at all. The reason I call them Repterans is to differentiate them between the off-planet reptilians, many of which are actually very highly evolved beings. The ones who are causing the problem are these Repterans, and I call them Repterans after, you know, the word for Earth, Terra, that because they were developed down here. So they're actually Earth humans, but an earlier species of Earth human to modern man.
Hmm. And they have an agenda, don't they?
They certainly do, yes. Their agenda started with the hijacking of the planet back in the time of Atlantis, and they have basically remained here, coming back, reincarnating over and over again, and they're still holding on to this agenda to keep humans under control, disempowered, and they use fear as their means of doing this.
Judy, are they at war or are they at battle with the Greys?
Well, they're basically at war with all the other ETs.
Every species,
here.
Yeah.
Because the Greys and the other higher ETs coming here are coming to try to help Earth humans to evolve, to get Earth past that stagnant pool that it's been pushed into, to get it back in flow with the rest of the universe. And if the Repterans don't want this to happen, they want to keep humans basically in a state of slavery and being brainwashed by them.
Now, with these Repterians, as you call them, what is their mission in terms of the human being? Do they, you know, want to get their soul like the devil's trying to get our soul?
It's basically they just want to keep humans, they want to block humans from incarnating, keep them in a state of enslavement. It's a power thing they've got. It's a real power and control thing. They also feed off fear. And so this is the reason why they keep the fear thing going down here, through fake news, through a massive disinformation and propaganda campaign against the Greys. It's just feeding fear the whole time. There's so much disinformation being put out there.
Judy Carroll with us. Her latest book is called Extraterrestrial Presence on Earth, Lessons in History as well. And Judy, where can people get the book?
They can get it from Amazon. It's just been released on Amazon.
Just came out. Yeah, just came out.
Yes, it's just only just been released.
And Amazon always discounts everything, don't they?
Yes, Well, they've actually been offering some pre-release books at a quite a discounted price. I don't know what they've done with that now, but they've certainly got it up ready for sale.
Now, you've said that the reptarians are the originals of what we've called today fake news. Tell me about that.
Yes, absolutely. They actually, the fake news thing really goes back to biblical accounts attributing seemingly miraculous events such as the parting of the Red Sea and the mysterious burning bush to God. But these events were really carried out by star people who were making their presence known on Earth back then. Of course, the younger human species looked upon them as gods with the amazing technology they had. And the draconians and reptarians in particular were caught up in ego, that they encouraged this worship and exploited it to the fullest. And this is where the concept of an angry, jealous and judgmental god figure comes from. So, as I said before, they ended up hijacking the planet, and this resulted in wars with the other creator beings also carrying out work down here. Major wars were fought between them and the other creator beings. And there's evidence of these wars in certain places in the Middle East where there's vast areas of sand that's been sort of turned into glass from nuclear weapons and things that were used back then.
What would your role be, Judy? I mean, the fact that you're here, you were a Zeta Grey in one life, and now you're a human, of course, in this one. Do you have a specific goal?
Yes, it's to get this information out and to try to help the fear on this planet. What people don't understand is that, as I mentioned before, these reptarians actually feed off fear. And so their whole agenda is putting out fake news, putting out disinformation through politics, religion, the net, all the media outlets, stirring up people for this maximum fear to be expressed. And by doing this, they're actually causing people to fear the very ones who are coming here to assist the evolutionary process, the Greys particularly. The Greys actually work quite extensively throughout the universe. I have memories from my past life of carrying out work like adaptation of species to different planets, adaptation of life forms, and assisting in the evolutionary process of different species. So that's basically what we're here to do. We're here to try and repair the DNA that the reptarians interfered with. Mm. They interfered with human DNA many millennia ago. And this is the reason why people have taken up onto our ships to have the DNA repaired, because the DNA is intrinsically linked into the amount of conscious awareness that a person can access. An Earth human at the moment can access about 10% of their potential conscious awareness. This is how much they've been blocked. And they need to have more of their DNA activated to enable them to access more conscious awareness, which is exactly what human evolution's all about. So by blocking conscious awareness, they're blocking human evolution.
And can the Zetas, through you, can you win?
Well, we'd hope so.
I mean, what's the downside if you can't win? What happens?
Well, we basically don't go there because what most people don't understand is people create their own reality through the way they think.
Right.
Quantum physics has started to prove this. So the very, very main thing that people need to understand is they have to start thinking in a more positive way. To create a better future for themselves. This is how we operate. So we don't even go there. It will happen. It's got to happen. Positivity always wins in the end over negativity, because positivity enhances itself, whereas negativity ends up destroying itself. It's like it implodes.
All right, Judy, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back for more on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Judy Carroll with us. She is live in Australia as we're talking about her extraterrestrial presence on Earth, lessons in history about her life, practically. And Judy, let's get into this again. I find it fascinating. What have your parents said about this?
My parents actually passed away when I was quite young.
Oh, really? So
they,
sorry to hear that.
They weren't consciously aware of anything that was going on with me. All they were aware of was I was a rather difficult child with my problems with trying to eat and things like that.
Yeah.
They realised I was a bit strange, but they didn't consciously know what was really going on. I have a brother still alive, very much alive, and he sort of knows. He's actually read the books, but it's okay with him. He's not really interested in it. He doesn't go into these things very much.
I mean, does he think he's one of them too?
No way. No way. I actually think he is, but I wouldn't say that to him.
Is there a specific mission that you have here on this planet that you need to accomplish?
Well, really, writing these books has been my mission. When I had the daytime encounter with the Greys in 1983, when I realised that they were family, they gave me a set of instructions. They told me first that I needed to learn to meditate to assist with communication. And they also told me that I needed to undergo studies because I would be teaching Tai Chi and a natural healing modality later on. Now, back then, I'd actually been a professional dancer. I followed in the footsteps of my great-grandmother. I used to be a flamenco dancer. So the very last thing on my mind was learning to meditate, and I didn't even know what Tai Chi was. So the advice the Greys gave me was actually very, very good because never having meditated, there was no way I could have been able to just sit down and go into a meditation group. But the Tai Chi, which I didn't realise then, is called moving meditation. And they told me that one day I'd be teaching this and that I would also be teaching a healing modality. Now, things vastly changed for me over the next 3 years. I actually understand now that a vast amount of information was downloaded to me during that time. There was missing time involved. And they told me that all these things would be happening. Over the next 3 years, my life changed dramatically. We moved from country property back to town. There were Tai Chi classes started up around the corner that had just happened to start up about a week after we moved back to town. A woman moved next door soon after we moved in who just happened to be a meditator, and her teacher had moved up here as well, and I was invited to join their meditation group, which was a closed meditation group. So in this meditation group, I learnt automatic writing and spiritual type healing. Now, this automatic writing then led me to writing the books. And several years after that, during another very profound encounter at a sacred circle over in England, I was asked by the Greys then to start writing books because people were all complaining that the Greys won't communicate. And they said, look, you know, why don't you start writing books talking about ET contact, but from our perspective, so that we can get information and communication across to people. So this is what I did. From the automatic writing, I was able to download more, and that's how these books came out. So my specific job was to get these books out. And the funny thing is, we were talking about the last time I spoke on Coast to Coast in 2011. This was just after my book, The Zeta Message, and my other book, Human by Day, Zeta by Night, were released. Now, not long after that, in the November of that year, I was taken up on the ship. I remember being up on the ship, and we were actually having a meeting about how we were going to go about helping this situation of freeing Earth humans from when the planet was hijacked. And somebody said to me, well, you're a writer, why don't you write another book? So I started sort of mulling over in my mind. I came back the next morning and I could remember this, and I started thinking about it and just jotting down a few notes. And then the next thing, my publisher at Granite Publications suggested that I write a book. So I don't know, he must have been up on the ship as well,
yeah.
I think. So he suggested it, and I said, okay, well, look, I've got a manuscript here I've been working on, and that's where it started.
Judy, were the Greys the ones involved in the Roswell, New Mexico crash?
Yes, they were.
Do you have any further information for us that we don't know about?
I don't really know what people do know about. There were at least two ships involved. I think there was a third one. And what has actually confused, yes, I know what I can talk about. What's confused people about that is that some of the witnesses described the beings in one way and other witnesses described them in another way and absolutely swore that they had six fingers, and somebody else saw them and swore they had four fingers.
Or three.
And they all started saying, oh, well, I'm right and you're wrong, you know. And what they don't realise is there were several different types of beings involved in those crashes. And the other thing that people don't know is there is about 30 different types of greys.
Oh, I didn't know that. 30 different types of greys. Wow.
About 30 different types.
Are they similar? Do they look the same?
There's a similarity between them in that they all have the large head and the small, thin body and the big eyes.
Big eyes, okay.
Black eyes, some have blue eyes. Some look a little bit more Earth-human than others because there are a lot of hybrids. The Zeta Greys are just one group, and even on the Zeta planets, there are about three different sorts. And as I say, there are also hybrids. And the other thing that people get confused, they tend to put all the ETs, you know, or Sirian, or you're a Grey, you're a Zeta, you're a Sirian, you're a Pleiadian. But what they don't understand is that most people out there now are hybrids. It's a little bit like on planet Earth, you very, very rarely get a person who's, for example, pure French, pure American, pure Australian. We all have a mixture of different nationalities in our background, and the ETs are exactly the same.
How long do they live, the Greys?
Oh, again, many different. Some of the Greys live to about 300 years. Some of them will live up to about 500 years. But this also gets confusing because they don't look upon death as we do down here. So they will count all their lives. I mean, to them, they step from one body to another and they just continue on. They don't lose their consciousness like Earth humans do. I remember we asked one of our teachers once how old he was, and he said, I'm 1,000,000 years old. And this sort of,
that's
oh my
old.
God, you know, blew us away. But then we thought about it. That's what it is. He had reincarnated over the span of 1,000,000 years.
What caused the crashes at Roswell?
It was some technology down here that interfered with their control system.
Like radar or something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yes.
And down they went.
Yeah.
Why were they never picked back up by other Greys? Why didn't they come back and get them?
Well, they didn't really need to. I think one or two were picked up, but because they died, so they just reincarnated back as Greys again, or wherever they needed to go.
Do they see the future?
Yeah, they have a much, much broader conscious awareness than we do down here. So, yes, to them, there is no time. Everything's just a now, the big N-O-W now.
Would they intervene if something horrible was going to happen and they knew about it, whatever it might be?
Okay, it would depend on what the situation was because no one can override God's will. So if there's a karmic reason for a thing to happen, they can't intervene. But if something happens that is purely an accident, then yes, they can. The other thing is they can't intervene in the internal problems of any other particular planet. Planet Earth is a free will planet. And the problems down here, we basically have to fix ourselves. It was really interesting the other day because I was thinking about this, and one of the Grey teachers came up with a really, really good analogy because I know a lot of people say, oh, why don't the ETs just come down here and fix it all? The analogy was, he said, you could look on this as being like a game of football. The coach does everything he can beforehand to guide and advise the players on the best way to win the match, but he isn't allowed to come out onto the field and take part in the game. It's the team members who have to do the actual playing.
That's right.
All the coach can do is sit on the sidelines, probably biting his nails, jumping up and down, yelling and swearing, but he'd be in big trouble if he came onto the field and actually started kicking the ball around. So it's a very similar situation.
What is the ET view on God?
Oh, yes, this is very good. I love to talk about this. All ET cultures, including the Zetas and the Greys, refer to God as Source or Oneness, or the Forever is another term they use. and all the higher evolved ETs approach life from a spiritual rather than a religious perspective. Spirituality is a state of consciousness. It's a more expanded conscious awareness, which can only be attained over the span of many lives. And this is part of evolution in the human kingdom, which is not exclusive to planet Earth, but rather spans the whole universe. So higher evolved ETs are able to consciously access these higher energy frequencies, so they don't have to depend upon religious faith and belief in the existence of a supreme energy source. They're able to tap into it and perceive it in full conscious awareness. They're consciously aware that all of us are an intrinsic part of this supreme source at soul level. So there's no separation in the greater reality. This is why they refer to God as oneness. We're all part of this same God consciousness, and it permeates the whole universe on multidimensional levels. It's like a super glue that glues the whole universe. It's the driving force behind the universe.
Judy, there's lots of talk these days of what governments know about the ET presence. It's been revealed that the CIA was involved in studying, spending $22 million to try to get a little bit more information. What about disclosure? Do you ever see that really coming out, really becoming public?
I think it will have to eventually. The problem is, of course, the governments are being very quiet about it. Hopefully the release of my new book will actually help. Extraterrestrial Presence on Earth, Lessons in History, is supposed to, start to get people looking at more towards this. I doubt if disclosure will happen through the reptilian control governments, because that's the trouble. They're all in control down here, although some Earth governments are now becoming more open. And of course, we have the ex-Defence Minister of Canada, Honourable Paul Hellyer, speaking out in support of disclosure. I've actually quoted a lot of his book, Light at the End of the Tunnel, in mine. I think with disclosure, it'll slowly emerge through ones like us and many others of the tens of thousands of people down here who had contact. I would say if people want statistics, I'd actually advise them to check out the free website. That's the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. They've actually run some very comprehensive surveys with very interesting results. And the funny thing is, despite all the negative propaganda, the free survey shows that the majority of ET contact is positive. So disclosure, I think it will come about through ordinary people in the street and mm-hmm. ones like us coming out and speaking out about it.
Now, there's been talk that ET's craft have disabled our missile silos.
Yes,
now,
exactly.
Now, isn't that getting involved in our affairs?
What they're basically doing with that is just demonstrating what they can potentially do. See, the problem is once nuclear power is discovered by a planetary culture, it doesn't just impact on that planet, it impacts out into the universe. Now, even those bombs that were set off that ended World War II had a massive impact off planet Earth. And that's when the ETs start to really sit up and take notice. I have a very strong feeling that if anyone started pressing the button to start World War III down here, I think that the ETs probably would step in. They would at least disarm the missiles like they did then.
But there's no assurance that would happen, is there?
Well, we're hoping that it would. We're hoping that it would.
Are you in constant communication with them?
If I need to be, I'm not in constant communication because I'm in an Earth-human body. I'm operating through an Earth-human brain
with
the normal 10% consciousness that most Earth-humans have. So there is no way that I would be able to bring my full ET consciousness down into this body. My brain would explode. It wouldn't be able to cope with it. What happens is if there's something that I need to know, I will remember it. I'll be told during my sleep state and I'll bring it back and remember it. But no, I can't. I'm not in full contact with them the whole time.
But they do visit you in the dream state.
Oh, yes, they do. Yes, I leave the body. I go up onto the ship at night. I have memories from doing that.
What is your concept of the human ladder? What is that?
Yes, the human ladder. This is a term that one of the grey teachers actually used to explain the path or cycle of evolution, which is followed by all human type species throughout the cosmos. It also represents our multidimensional soul or higher self, which spans the whole ladder. And it's comprised of what the greys call galactic levels, but these aren't galaxies or any physical places. They're actually ascending and expanding levels of conscious awareness and awakening. Now, the average Earth human consciousness is operating on the first rung of the ladder, so therefore can consciously access approximately 10% of potential conscious awareness. The other 90% is hidden away, either subconscious or superconscious. And for an Earth human to be able to access even a small part of these deeper levels and altered states such as hypnosis or meditation is generally required. Now, as our mind focus evolves to higher rungs of the ladder, we're able to link more consciously back into oneness and therefore able to perceive and interact with higher and higher vibrational frequencies of energy. And for this to happen, more DNA needs to be activated. The whole universe is energy, nothing more, nothing less. It's just energy vibrating at infinite frequencies. And once we evolve to become more consciously awakened, we can tap into higher frequencies, way beyond our present awareness. Just as an average human on Earth is able to tap into and operate in full awareness of third-dimensional reality. We're all multidimensional beings. All of us have a part of our soul essence on each rung of the ladder. There's 10 levels altogether. So as we move up, we open from 10% conscious awareness to 20 to 30 to 40, etc. Once we get it right up the top, we have full mind conscious awareness.
All right, Judy, stay with us. We're going to come back with a final hour to go, and that means phone calls from our listeners.